We are continuing chapter 13 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. The following day dawned just as leaden and rainy as the previous one. Hagrid was still absent from the staff table at breakfast. "But on the plus side, no Snape today," said Ron, bracing. Hermione yawned and poured herself some coffee. "Wait, aren't they like 15? Mm-hmm. She drinks coffee.
I drink coffee. Not in the morning, but like to be cool.
She looked mildly pleased about something, and when Ron asked her what she had to be so happy about, she simply said, "The hats have gone. Seems house elves do want freedom after all." "I wouldn't bet on it," Ron told her cuttingly. "They might not count as clothes. They didn't look anything like hats to me, more like woolly bladders." Hermione didn't speak to him all morning.
Aww. Lover's quarrel.
Double charms was succeeded by double transfiguration. Professor Flitwick and
I don't know why they do that.
The double classes. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they have these dumbass classes. They should just be practicing
cool.
the whole time.
No, it's a cool thing. I like those classes.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're cool classes, but they shouldn't have, like, the same kind of homework as they have. Like, they shouldn't be writing essays. It's dumb.
Well, they should, because it's history, like...
Well, then they should have an interesting history teacher.
Okay, fine. But nobody...
What? What? I'm trying to think of... Yeah, I was holding out. Okay, I'm gonna relax and you have to not.
Not tickle you? I'm not touching you at all. I'm not even touching you.
Stop it.
I'm not even touching you.
Okay. Professor Flitwick and Professor McGonagall both spent the first 15 minutes of their lessons lecturing the class on the importance of vowels. "But you must remember," said little Professor Flitwick squeakily, perched ever on a pile of books that he could see over the top of his desk, "is that these examinations may influence your futures for many years to come. If you have not already given serious thought to your careers, now is the time to do so. And in the meantime, I'm afraid, we shall be working harder than ever to ensure that you all do yourselves justice." They then spent an hour reviewing summoning charms, which, according to Professor Flitwick, were bound to come up in their owls, and rounded off the lesson by setting them their largest amount of charms homework ever. See, that's the thing. What do they have to do for charms? Okay. It was the same, if not worse, in Transfiguration. "You cannot pass an owl," said Professor McGonagall grimly, "without serious application, practice, and study. I see no reason why everyone in this class should not achieve an owl in Transfiguration, as long as they put in the work." Neville made a sad little disbelieving noise. "Yes, you too, Longbottom," said Professor McGonagall. "There's nothing wrong with your work except lack of confidence. So today we are starting with vanishing spells. They are easier than conjuring spells, which you would usually not attempt until newt level. They are still among the most difficult magic you will be tested in your owl." She was quite right. Harry found vanishing spells horribly difficult. By the end of a double period, neither he nor Ron had managed to vanish the snails on which they were practicing. Though Ron said that he thought his looked a little paler. Hermione, on the other hand, successfully vanished her snail on the third attempt, earning her a 10-point bonus for Gryffindor from Professor McGonagall. She was the only person not given homework. Everyone else was told to practice the spell overnight, ready for a fresh attempt on their snails the following afternoon. See, that's the kind of homework they should be given. Just practice their shit. Now panicking slightly about the amount of homework they had to do, Harry and Ron spent their lunch hour in the library looking up the uses of moonstones in potion making. Still angry about Ron's slur on her woolly hats, Hermione did not join them. By the time they reached care of magical creatures in the afternoon,
Harry's head was aching again.
The day had become cool and breezy, and they walked down the sloping lawn toward Hagrid's cabin on the edge of the Forbidden Forest, and they felt the occasional drop of rain on their faces. Professor Grubby Plank stood waiting
Grubby.
In the class. Grubby Plank, Grubbly Plank, stood waiting on the class, for the class some 10 yards from Hagrid's front door. A long trestle table in front of her laden with many twigs. As Harry and Ron reached her,
bow chuckles.
What?
I bet they're bow chuckles.
What's that mean?
It's a kind of creature.
Okay. As Harry and Ron reached her, a loud shout of laughter surrounded them. Turning, they saw Draco Malfoy striding toward them, surrounded by his usual gang of Slytherin cronies. He had just clearly said something highly amusing, because Crabbe, Goyle, and Pansy Parkinson, and the rest, continued to snicker heartily as they gathered around the trestle table. Judging by the fact that all of them kept looking over at Harry, he was able to guess the subject of the joke without too much difficulty. "Everyone here?" barked Professor Grubbly Plank, once all the Slytherins and Gryffindors had arrived. "Let's crack on, then. Who can tell me what these things are called?" She indicated the heap of twigs in front of her. Hermione's hand shot in the air. Behind her, Malfoy did a bucktooth imitation of her jumping up and down in eagerness to answer a question. Pansy Parkinson gave a shriek of laughter that turned almost at once into a scream, as the twigs on the tiny table, on the table, leapt into the air and revealed themselves to be what looked like pixie-ish creatures made of wood, each with knobby brown arms and legs, two twig-like fingers at the end of each hand, and a funny, flat, bark-like face, in which a pair of beetle-brown eyes glittered. "Ooh," said Parvati Lavender, thoroughly irritating Harry. Anyone would have thought Hagrid would never show them impressive creatures. Admittedly, the flobberworms had been a bit dull, but the salamanders and hippogriffs had been interesting enough, and the blast-ended scroots perhaps too much so. "Kindly keep your voices down, girls," said Professor Grubbly Plank, scattering a handful of what looked like brown rice among the stick creatures, who immediately fell upon the food. "So, anyone know the names of these creatures, Miss Granger?"
"Bojuckles,"
said Hermione. "What are they?"
"Bojuckles?"
"They're tree guardians, usually live in wand trees." "Wand trees?"
"Yeah, the kind of trees that they make the wand wood from."
"I thought they make them from various kinds of trees."
"Mm-hmm. So, like, it's like a quality mark. And they eat tree lice."
"I see."
"Which is the brown stuff."
"Yes," said Professor Grubbly Plank. "These are bojuckles, and, as Miss Granger rightly says, they generally live in trees of whose wood is of wand quality." "I
see."
"Anyone know what they eat?" "How do you remember this?"
"Mm-hmm."
"It wasn't in the movie, was it?"
"Mm-mm."
"Interesting."
"I just am a Harry Potter fiend."
"Wood lice," said Hermione promptly, which explained why Harry had taken, why what Harry had taken for grains of brown rice were moving. "But fairy eggs, if they can get them." "Excellent. So whenever you need leaves or wood from a tree in which a bojuckle lodges, it is wise to have a gift of wood lice ready to distract or placate it. They may not look dangerous, but if angered, they will gouge out human eyes with their fingers, which, as you can see, are very sharp and not at all desirable near the eyeballs. So if you'd like to gather closer, take a few wood lice and a bojuckle. I have enough here for one between three. You can study them more closely. I want a sketch of each of you with all the body parts labeled by the end of the lesson." The class surged forward around the trestle table. Harry deliberately circled around the back, so he ended up right next to Professor Grubbly Plank. "Where's Hagrid?" he asked her, while everyone else was choosing bow trickles. "Never you mind," said Professor Grubbly Plank repressively, which had been her attitude last time Hagrid had failed to turn up for class two. Smirking all over his pointed face, Draco Malfoy leaned across Harry and seized the largest bow trickle. "Maybe," said Malfoy in an undertone, so that only Harry could hear him. "The stupid great oaf's got himself badly injured." "Maybe you will if you don't shut up," said Harry out of the side of his mouth. "Maybe he's been nothing but stuff too big for him. Oh yeah, I forgot Draco's voice. If you get my drift." Malfoy walked away, smirking over his shoulder at Harry, who suddenly felt sick. Did Malfoy know something? His father was a Death Eater, after all. What if he had information about Hagrid's fate that had not yet reached the Order's ears? He hurried back around to the table toward Ron and Hermione, who were squatting on the grass some distance away and attempting to persuade a bojuckle to remain still long enough to draw it. Harry pulled out parchment and quill, crouched down beside the others, and related in a whisper what Malfoy just said. "Dumbledore would know if something had happened to Hagrid," said Hermione at once. "It's just playing into Malfoy's hands to look worried. It tells him we don't know exactly what's going on. We've got to ignore him, Harry. Here, hold the bojuckle for a moment, just so I can draw its face." "And yes," came Malfoy's clear drawl from the group nearest them. "Father was talking to the Ministry just a couple of days ago, you know, and it sounds as though the Ministry is really determined to crack down on substandard teaching in this place. So even if that overgrown moron does show up, he'll probably be sent packing straight away." "Ouch!" Harry had gripped his bojuckle so hard it had almost snapped. It had taken a great retaliatory swipe at his hand with its sharp fingers, leaving two long, deep cuts there. Harry dropped it. Crabbe and Goyle had already been guffawing at the idea of Hagrid being sacked, laughed still harder as the bow truckle set off at full tilt toward the forest, a little moving stickman soon swallowed up by the tree roots. When the bell echoed distantly over the grounds, Harry rolled up his blood-stained bow truckle picture and marched off to Herbology with his hand wrapped in his handkerchief and Malfoy's derisive laughter still ringing in his ears. "If he calls Hagrid a moron one more time," snarled Harry. "Harry, don't go picking a row with Malfoy. Don't forget, he's prefect now. He can make life difficult for you." "Wow, I wonder what it's like to have a difficult life," said Harry sarcastically. Ron laughed, but Hermione frowned. Together they traipsed across the vegetable patch. The sky still appeared unable to make up its mind whether it wanted to rain or not. Maybe we should stop? Okay. So we'll stop there, kitten. We can say goodnight to you, kitten.
Goodnight.
You're a very sweet and adorable kitten, Boo. I love you very much.
I love you.
Goodnight, Boo.